Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show. It is great to be with you here tonight, as it always is. Alongside, we have Carlos Ortiz, my right-hand man. How are you, Carlos Ortiz, my right-hand man?
What's going on? I'm good.
We have not spoken today. That's a different.
Very weird. I know.
What the hell?
I was essentially sleeping on and off all day. I completely forgot how to work.
What was I doing today? What did I do today? I went to the store to buy chips.
That was 4 hours.
Because I ran out of chips. I like to put chips on my sandwich. I like the crunch. So I'll make a ham, turkey, and cheese sandwich, and then I'll put Doritos on them, load it up with mayo on Italian white bread. Mmm. So good. I hope this is someone's first entry into the show. Yeah, it's not this bad typically. What else did I do? Oh, we had baseball practice. My kid's in baseball now, and so he's the Pirates. And I had to, like, help coach. And so I'm helping. I man the station because they did stations, and I man the station where kids bat off a tee. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll show you how I do it. But I don't know. And then there were, like, other parents watching me, and I like coaching soccer because I know soccer. I know all about soccer. I'm in my element with soccer. I put in my 10,000 hours, man. I know all about soccer. Can I coach baseball? I watch baseball, but can I, like, show you your proper batting stance? I don't know. It'd be like me teaching someone how to golf. I can barely golf. I can barely hit a baseball. The last time I played in a baseball game or something akin to it was a softball game that I got invited to play, and I struck out twice in slow pitch softball. Completely whiffed. They never invited me back on the team and regretted inviting me in the first place. So I don't know that I was the best. But that's the thing. You get lumped into these things, and all of a sudden no one wants to coach and you need to coach, and then you're a coach. And the guy who is the coach of the team, he's very good. And I told him you're like out of central casting for what a youth baseball coach should look like. And I meant it in a good way. I hope he took it as a compliment, because I certainly didn't mean it in a good way. I'm glad he is my kid's coach. He's all well organized. Everything's, you know, it's a lot more. I think I run a tight soccer practice when I coach my kid, but this is a well-oiled machine, and I need to maybe take some tips from him. That's not why you're here. I understand that. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476, but I just needed to warm up the car before I talk about the thing we've been talking about to start every single show, it seems, this week. Not my hatred of the Pacers. We can discuss the Pacers and the Knicks at some point, certainly, because a lot of you watched it. A lot of you watched it. We just talked about the Western Conference Finals, and those are going on right now, back from halftime. Oklahoma City leads 60-50. We are just into the third quarter. So Minnesota playing better, but It doesn't feel like they're going to win. We'll see what happens. This is game two of that series, OKC with a 1-0 lead. The Knicks and Pacers last night averaged 6.6 million viewers across TNT and True TV. That was up 2% from Pacers Celtics last year. And it was the most watched game one of an Eastern Conference final since Cavs Celtics back in 2018, which brought in 7.2 million. So the Eastern Conference right now, we're in the 6.5 million range. And the Western Conference had about 3.5 million. So, I mean, it was lower. It was almost, but it just, that goes to what we were talking about a little last night, too, is it just does feel different. Knicks-Pacers doesn't feel like it's on the same level as Timberwolves-Thunder. I don't know why that is. I don't know if it's a new matchup. Is it a disrespect to these teams? Do they not have a LeBron or a Steph? I don't know. I do think we get to a point where Timberwolves and Thunder feels like Warriors and Rockets used to, or, you know, I think we get to that point because you've got the MVP here in SGA. You've got another guy budding up in Anthony Edwards. So I think it will get there. But right now, certainly, this of the two series is the undercard to the main event, which is Knicks and Pacers. So we'll keep our eye on this. We'll certainly discuss it. I don't know that the passion will be there from callers and host tonight regarding whatever happens in this game, but we will certainly give it its proper due on the show. Also looking at the hockey game where Florida, they won game one, 5-2, and now they're winning against Carolina 4-0. So it's just underway. It's early in the series, but these games have been in Carolina. And if Florida can take both of them, well, I don't know. The read that I had on Carolina was they win, they go about their business. They're kind of boring. They play boring, but they win, and you got to deal with how they play. And Florida obviously is itching to get back to and win another Stanley Cup. And so they've been the better team through five periods of that series. So keeping our eye on that, keeping our eye on the basketball, and of course the baseball and football news and everything else regarding the world of sports. And another rule change, this time regarding playoffs, this time regarding college football. They wanted to. They talked about it. You figured they would. They are. They're going to a straight seeding model this fall, removing the confusing setup that they had for the college football playoff last year. The 10 FBS commissioners and Notre Dame's athletic director, that's the college football playoffs management committee, it was unanimous to change it. ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips saying, "We have a responsibility to serve our constituents while also trying to figure out what's best for college football." He says, "I don't know that these rules always benefit the ACC, but we have to look out. It's the right decision for the sport." So last year, the four highest ranked conference champions earned the top four seeds. And this was the way that I think it should have been. And I would still want to argue for this because you know me, I'm a big divisions matter guy. Hashtag divisions matter. In college football, the layout's a bit different. Remember, when they went to a 12-team playoff in college football, there were five power conferences. So you would have five power conferences, and the top four seeds, which would be the bye teams, they would all be from power conferences. And then they could give another bid to another conference, but it's the five power teams. So rarely were you going to get one of those teams to jump five power conferences in terms of seeding. This year, what had happened was Oregon won the Big Ten, and they were number one ranked in the final standing. So they were the highest ranked, and they were a conference champion, so they got the one seed. Georgia won the SEC, ranked two, so they were the two seed. But then you had Boise State, who was ranked 9, but they became the third highest conference champion. Boise State out of the Mountain West. That was not the way I think they designed it or what they intended. So they were ranked 9, but they got the 3 seed, which gave them a bye. And then you had Arizona State, who was ranked 12th, but then they got the 4 seed, and they got a bye. Clemson was the next highest, the 5th, and they were out of the ACC, so they were ranked 16th, but they got in as the 12 seed. So they didn't get the 5 seed, they get the 12 seed because 5 of the top conference champions are guaranteed a spot, and then if you're the top 4, you get the bye. So it is somewhat confusing. They're changing that now. So now, whatever the college football playoffs are, whatever the rankings are, essentially whatever the AP top 25 is, that's the standings. That's the standings. If you're one of the top 5, you will still get in. So whatever happens next year, you know, if there's like Army or Tulane or Boise State again, and they're good enough and they're ranked 19th, you know, they'll still get in, but they're going to be the 12 seed. So last year, what would have happened was Oregon would have been the 1, Georgia the 2, Texas the 3, and Penn State the 4, which those teams made up their conference championships. So the conference championship is getting totally watered down because you can still lose that game and get a bye. College is in a weird spot. I am pro making divisions matter. I like how it is in football. I don't want them to make that change, which they were going to vote on this week but then didn't. The change being, if you're a division winner, you get in, but you may not get a home game. In baseball, there's still some sanctity to the division. In basketball, it's completely thrown out the window. It's completely thrown out the window. I'll look at that in a second. But the matchups then would have been totally different as well, which you would have had with the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12. So 12 would have played 5. Arizona State would have played Notre Dame. Winner would advance to play Penn State. 6, Ohio State would have played 11. 12 would have been Clemson. 11, Arizona State with the moving. But you would have had the best teams get the bye. And that's what college football wanted from the start. As soon as this college football playoff started last year, everyone's like, oh, this sucks, actually. Like, we're glad we have a playoff, but Boise State should not be getting a bye. And Arizona State should not be getting a bye. We would rather have those teams play in the first round and earn their way in. So Boise State at the 9 would have played Indiana the 8. You know, that would have been a better game than Indiana getting trounced by Notre Dame or Boise State losing to Penn State eventually in the next round. All college football cares about, and to go back to the ACC commissioner, essentially made a rule that could hurt his conference, because it didn't happen this year with Clemson, but Clemson could have gotten a bye if they were the 4th highest conference champion. But he's saying, we have to do what's best for the sport. What's best for the sport is they really do want every game in the playoffs to be the best game that you've ever seen in your life. They don't want any game to be unsatisfactory. And even in the history of the BCS or the college football playoff with a 4-team bracket, there's been lopsidedness. But I have never seen a sport that is just so determined to make sure they don't have a bad game in the playoff. That's why Florida State got, That's why Florida State got left out a couple of years ago because, yes, they went undefeated. Yes, they won a Power 5 conference. But their quarterback was hurt, and they wouldn't have given us a good game. They want the best teams. And it's under the disguise of, well, if you win this, you're in. If you win this, you're in. They don't care about that. It is still an invitational. Now, there are some ways that you can get in, but I at least appreciated the bracket we got last year better than the bracket that we're going to get. I don't need every game to be the best game ever. I want to see teams earn their way to a championship. That's what I want to see. Because that's how I feel like it should be. Who's in the playoffs? Well, the teams that did the best in the regular season. But for college, it's always, and this was the language the committee used once they left the BCS and went to the committee for the four team, we want the best teams. Well, how do you figure that out? So a bunch of people get in a room and they've all got different agendas. And sometimes you have ADs from the school on the committees that are putting in the schools. We saw that in basketball with Notre Dame. Or North Carolina, I mean. North Carolina. Remember Bubba Cunningham before he was known as the guy who didn't want Jordan Hudson around? And apparently they're engaged. Okay. Her and Bill Belichick. But college is different. So even as a, I am a division guy, protect divisions. And in this case, protect conferences. College is totally different because of how many teams there are, the amount of conferences there are, how teams in their conference might not even play each other, and then the disparity among those conferences. There used to be a Power Five. Pac-12, ACC, SEC, Big 12, and the Big 10. And it made sense. The five conferences, SEC fans will always tell you their conference was the best. But it was pretty level overall. It was pretty level. Sometimes Pac-12 would be down or eat themselves up, but sometimes they would have USC at the top, Oregon. You know, it's pretty consistent. The gap between 1 and 5 wasn't as stark as what we have now. What we have now is 2 power conferences, the Big Ten and the SEC. And anybody that was worth a damn in the Pac-12 or even the Big 12 has gone elsewhere. Well, the Big 12's got Texas and Oklahoma. No, they don't. They're in the SEC. So because of how slanted it is, I understand the desire to have the playoffs be the best team. So now what we're essentially doing is going back to best teams get in. We're just going to rank them and play it out. And maybe for college, that is what's best. But they're doing that to not find the rightful champion. They're doing it to give us the best games. They want every game to be the best game that it can be. Like Boise State at Indiana, that doesn't seem like a historical classic. SMU at Tennessee, but they would have been closer games, you would have figured. Now, we got a good one between Texas and Arizona State. But then even in the second round, like Notre Dame and Georgia, but see, they tried it this way, and then the 1 and 2 seed both lost. I don't know. College is just, it's just, we can never have a bad playoff game. We can't. And maybe they've got a little incentive because the NFL now, that first weekend of college football, they can put games on those Saturdays. And the NFL puts some games on their last Saturday, and it's not like they're scheduling, you know, patsies. They got Green Bay and Chicago. They got Philadelphia and Washington, games that command an audience nationally. And both of those games likely will have some playoff implications down the line. So what do you watch? You watch the first round of the college football playoff. You watch SMU at Penn State. You watch Indiana at Notre Dame, or do you watch the NFL? So maybe a little more incentive. So that the rule changed today in college football, as that is a sport that can never keep its feet where they are. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Get your thoughts on that. Much, much more. Oklahoma City in action. They have given us another MVP. They've given us a lot of MVPs over the years. Try to figure out how they do that. And the most insane stat about MVPs ever regarding tattoos. That coming up next. This is the Bart Winkler Show.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Couple of games in action here tonight regarding conference finals. Halfway through the third period in Carolina, and they are down the Hurricanes 4-0 to the Florida Panthers. This would put them in a 2-0 hole going back to Florida. And then in the NBA, the game, I think it was just a 6-point game. It must have been a little 7-0 run here. I turned my head, and then the Thunder had 7 more points. They're up 77-64. I don't know that it's a must win for the Timberwolves, but it's a must lose by not more than 8. They got to keep it close. Otherwise, we're probably, well, I mean, maybe it is. I don't know. It's hard to say. You don't want to say, oh, you lose 2 on the road. Teams have done it. The Milwaukee Bucks did it in the 2021 NBA Finals, folks. So Minnesota could come back and win a couple and then steal one on the road, come back, boom. They've won in 6. But they just right now seem like they are being, completely outplayed. They are shooting, well, about as bad from 3 as they did in game 1. But then again, so are the Thunder. Goodness. Game 1, the Thunder shot 54% from 3, 11 for 21. The Timberwolves were 51 of 15, 29%. In this game right now, the Thunder are shooting 6 of 28 from 3. That's 21%. Timberwolves, 9 of 28 from 3. Anthony Edwards says he needs to shoot more. He shot 13 times in game 1. He's up to 19. With a couple minutes to go in the third quarter here. 1 of 7, however, from 3 with 18 points. So it's 82-65. Just took a timeout in Oklahoma City. But it seems like they will be en route to a 2-0 lead in the series. And from there, probably a series win. I think Minnesota gets charged up. They get a home game, game 3. Maybe win that one, or if they don't, game 4, kind of a let's keep this thing we're on the brink here. I think no matter what, Minnesota will get one in Minnesota. But I don't know the way that the Thunder are playing. And they, I think, are the best team left. The way the Thunder are playing, things seem pretty good for them. Denver gave them fits. Minnesota doesn't seem to be able at this point to give them their fits. Then again, there was a 17-point game last night with 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And the team that was trailing won. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander getting presented with his MVP trophy before the game tonight. This is the fourth MVP that was drafted by the Oklahoma City Thunder franchise. Now, I have to say franchise because Kevin Durant slips in there as well. But Sam Presti, who has been with the organization after a seven-run year as the assistant general manager with the Spurs, came to the Seattle Supersonics as their GM. He has now drafted four guys that would go on to be, or not drafted, but he has acquired. He has somehow acquired. Thank you. That was my one wrong thing. He has acquired four guys that would go on to be the MVP. Guys that made their hay in Oklahoma City, either winning the MVP there or elsewhere. Kevin Durant was drafted by Presti, first round, second overall pick in 2007. He became MVP in 2014. Russell Westbrook was drafted technically by the Supersonics, but then they became the Thunder, fourth overall pick in 2008. Won an MVP with them in 2017. James Harden, drafted by the Thunder in 2009, winning his MVP in 2018 with the Rockets. And now Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who was selected by the Hornets. They flipped him to the Clippers, and then he was with the Clippers for like no time. One season, 11th overall. And then went to the Thunder as part of that Paul George deal. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Danilo Gallinari, five first-round picks, the rights to swap two other first-round picks for Paul George, all for just Paul George. You look up Shai Gilgeous-Alexander Clippers, it's weird to see him in that jersey, but he definitely wore that jersey. So wild. Maybe the most... I mean, I can understand if you're the Clippers saying, no, we would do that trade again. And when they got Paul George and they had Kawhi and eventually James Harden, I don't know how they didn't at least get to a finals. Even this year, I thought they had a nice chance of making a run, but they could not do it without Paul George even. I thought they had a nice chance, but they were unable to get it done. So four guys that Sam Presti has at one point acquired have now gone on to win the MVP. Here's a stat, unless I am missing something, but I am dissecting these men's bodies like no one ever has before. Don't.
Too late.
This is the ninth straight season where the NBA MVP has no at least visible tattoos. So I don't know if these guys are hiding something somewhere else, but this is the ninth straight season where the NBA MVP at the time of his winning the award has no visible tattoos. Russell Westbrook in 2017, he's got one now. He got that in 2020 on his wrist or his bicep. James Harden does not have a visible one if he has one. Giannis, no tattoos, won it twice. Jokic, no tattoos, won it twice. Embiid, Jokic again. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, no visible tattoos. Do you have a tattoo?
I have seven.
You have seven?
Yeah.
Where are they? Did I see one?
I don't think you all saw any of them because it was cold when we met up. I have I have six on my arms. Three on the right, three on the left, and one on the chest, yes.
What are they of?
They're various things. You want me to describe seven tattoos when we got to go to the update?
I want you to tell me, of those seven, are there any that you think are stupid that you have now?
No, I wouldn't change a thing.
Oh, good. I am good. Dissecting these men's bodies like no one ever has before. How many tattoos do you think I have?
None.
How could you even possibly guess that?
I know who you are.
Well, I don't want to get hurt by the needle.
That's exactly why you have none.
No, I don't know that there's ever been anything that... What would I have gotten a tattoo of?
You got to go the easy route. Just get either your wife or son's name.
Yeah, at one point I thought about, like, I would be the kind of guy that gets Chinese lettering. Only the Chinese, like, the translation says, this is my tattoo.
Yeah, you think it's happiness and prosperity, and it's really the menu to the place that you like to order?
No, I wouldn't get duped. At one time, could I have been like, I'll get a Packers tattoo, you know?
Oh, I can't wait to get a Giants tattoo.
There's just been nothing. One time I talked, I was in... swimming, and one of the guys on the team was the football manager, and he wanted to get a tattoo of their conference championship. And I said, don't do that. That's gonna be on you forever. It's high school football.
Yeah, that's like getting the NBA cup tattooed on you.
yeah, which maybe
this
I will,
season will live on forever.
I'm very proud of that for the Bucks. People forget. No, I don't know. I haven't had anything that would make me want to get a tattoo, and I'm glad I never went down the route of, like, getting... Because that there could have been a pocket in my life where I thought, I'm going to put a Packer G on my leg. And then, you know, take a woman home, and, yeah, she's like, what the hell is that? I'm not a douche. Well, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. This is the Bart Winkler Show, and it is time for an update from Marco Belletti.
The biggest moments in the games.
Gaudreau finds Trocheck. Back out to Barkley. Gaudreau, the shot! And score! Barkley, Gaudreau in overtime!
The biggest voices in sports.
You're asking me dumb questions, guys. Really dumb questions. Jesus. We done? Thank you.
The heartbreak.
Edmonton will finish +5 in goal differential, but without a Stanley Cup to celebrate. A devastating loss for Edmonton, but an exhilarating win for Florida.
The celebrations.
A dream 30 years in the making. Yeah! Is a reality. The Florida Panthers have won the Stanley Cup.
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
That's right. It is the Bulletin Blitz on the Bart Winkler Show, Infinity Sports Network. It is Thursday, May 22nd, 2025. And very appropriate that we have the NHL open today for the Bulletin Blitz, because Florida might be two games away from going back to the Stanley Cup and defending their championship. Maybe get another one, make it two in a row as they knock off the Carolina Hurricanes 5-0.
Are we going to get a Stanley Cup rematch here?
It's very well. Edmonton will have to show up in game two because, they got smoked. And if we have time, I'll get to them in a little bit. But let's start off the Bulletin Blitz here with Josh Kroenke. He's the president of the Denver Nuggets. You might recognize his last name, his father, Stan, who owns many sports teams, including the Denver Nuggets. That's why he's the president. And this was a no-brainer decision. He says that they are going to promote David Edelman to full-time coach.
I think that the way the group really rallied around him, and not only a different voice, but a different style of communication, was fantastic to see. And so we're really excited about him, both what he's shown over the last 6 weeks, and then having a full summer, a full training camp, and a full year to get things under his belt before we go back at it again this time next year.
You almost couldn't not do it. He earned it. He took over for a team. They fired Michael Malone. Because they didn't think he was going to get him out of, you know, the play-in tournament, if that's what it was going to happen for them. But they fired him. He wins the last few games. You know, they move on. And it's kind of like what happened with the Raiders and Antonio Pierce, where a guy took over as an interim. And then he does pretty good. And you gotta see if that's going to continue or not. He did the job that you're going to be interviewing people to do. Tell me how you would do this job. Well, for Edelman, he says, I just did it. And I took the Thunder, the, I would say at this point, presumptive Western Conference champions, to Game 7. Now, he's been there for a handful of years, and he was an assistant under Michael Malone, but sometimes that's all it takes. Now, I don't know if he's going to have a longer leash. We saw with Antonio Pierce that he did not, that, okay, we gave you a chance, and now we're going to move on. You earned your chance, so yeah, let's go, but it's clear in Kroenke's comments that they think they have a championship roster, so the pressure is going to be on Edelman to deliver a championship. Now, Kroenke's probably wrong. They've got guys that did not show out in the playoffs, Michael Porter Jr., to be specific. But we'll see. And they don't have a lot of avenue to make any other great changes. So I don't know. You're going to get your shot, and then you're going to slowly float back down the river. The river of mediocrity will get you once again, as it's doing to many teams, I think, here across the league.
Yeah, maybe it benefits Edelman to not win a title anyway, because, you know, as you can see with your predecessor and pretty much every coach of the last 5 years, you win a championship, you're getting fired within 2 years anyway. So, you know, maybe lose and you'll get to be able to be in a job a little bit longer. Let's go to the choke heard around the world yesterday, and that was the Knicks blowing a 17-point lead to the Pacers. Pacers wound up tying it in regulation. They win in overtime 138-135 to take a 1-0 series lead. Halliburton led Indiana with 31 points and 11 assists. But it was Aaron Nesmith whose 20 points in the fourth quarter helped lead the charge in order for the Pacers to tie it in regulation. Here he is talking about how it feels to be locked in down the stretch.
It's unreal. It's probably the best feeling in the world for me, because I love it. Like, when that basket feels like an ocean and anything you toss up, you feel like it's going to go in. It's just so much fun.
Only six other players have made six threes in one quarter of a playoff game. Nesmith did it last night in the fourth quarter. Antoine Walker did it in 2002. Damian Lillard did it in 2021. Those were both second quarter outbursts. Devin Booker did it in 21. Michael Porter Jr. did it in 2021, as did Bojan Bogdanovic. Steph did it in 2022 in an NBA Finals game. These were all first quarter appearances. Nobody's done it in the fourth quarter. Nobody's done what you saw him do yesterday. Nobody's ever done that in a playoff game. Six threes in just one quarter. And then again, nobody's ever done what the Pacers have done. 4 17-point comebacks in this playoffs. The most by any team in a single postseason, going back to 1998. 3 7-point comebacks in the final minute of this playoff. That's only happened four times. The Pacers have done it three of those four times. Pretty remarkable stuff. Game two tomorrow night.
Yeah, can't wait for that. And, you know, it's the type of loss that can really snatch the souls of the Knicks. And if they want to avoid an 0-2 hold on to Indiana, Jalen Brunson says the team needs to move on from this loss quickly.
I'm pretty sure everyone's going to be thinking about it, but I think our mindset has to be short-term memory. Just from, like, the disappointment part. Obviously, we got to learn from what we did, but the short-term memory comes from the disappointment and discouragement of how we lost last night. So, I'm just going to be ready to go.
You know what else is going to be affected by this is the Knicks crowd. The Knicks had a very good crowd throughout these playoffs. They had a very good crowd on Wednesday night. But even if they go up and have any sizable lead, you will feel the nervousness throughout that building. You will feel everybody be tense and not be able to celebrate until it's over. So I don't know that we're going to get as raucous of a crowd as the Garden has been giving us, because they know that a 17-point lead is not safe against these Indiana Pacers.
No, I think they'll have very tight posteriors until the final buzzer. Let's switch gears. Let's go to the NFL. Brock Purdy, he got paid this week. So, you know, all eyes are going to be on him. He's the guy in San Francisco now. Bails him out from that Trey Lance draft pick that they made and gave him away for a fourth. You know, but, you know, whatever. That's San Francisco. Apparently, they have a horseshoe up their butts. Brock Purdy, however, he takes a look at the rest of the roster and he sees, hey, I've lost a couple of teammates this offseason.
Obviously, I was finding out just like everybody else with my teammates leaving and going to other teams and places, and I was extremely happy for them getting paid and all that kind of stuff. But I also understand that, man, that's the nature of the sport. It's a business, and players go to different places and stuff, and you got to bring in new guys and build up a new culture and team, and that's part of it. But I didn't get consumed by it. Obviously, it does, you know, suck when you build up this brotherhood. And you know, Dre Greenlaw was my locker room partner, and but right next to me, and then now he's gone, and it's like, man, you know, that stinks. But it's part of the game. So I'm still trying to comprehend it a little bit.
I would be gleeful every time that I saw another guy leave because the 49ers weren't going to pay him, because that would mean more money for me. So Brock Purdy, you put that no trade clause in there. He's not going anywhere. That's their guy. I think the Niners did what they had to do, and we'll see how it pans out.
All right, let's go to, you know what? Canada, this one's for you. Or maybe not, because it didn't work out in your favor. The Stars are leading the Western Conference Final after they rallied to a 6-3 win. They came into the third period down 3-1, but penalties galore. A couple of power play opportunities got Dallas up to 4-3, and then a couple of empty netters. That's where you get your total there, 6-3. Head coach Peter DeBoer says the guys, they responded in the third.
Guys responded. We got fortunate. We got some power play goals. Happy for our power play. I mean, it took a lot of heat last year at this point of the year. You know, and was the difference tonight for us. So it's great.
You know, I have a lot that I normally would get in here to break it down, but unfortunately, it is the end of the hour.
Yeah, that automatic break just sneaks up on you.
Yeah, well, that's a shame. And we got the Bartometer coming up next. We're going to look at the guys in the NBA Finals or in the NBA playoffs that are left that would benefit the most from a championship in terms of legacy. So that's coming up next. Then I maybe hour five we can get back to that, but
sure.
That is just a shame. That is just a shame. Bartometer next. It's the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.